Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren this morning. And if you were reading the Facebook post, then you know that the sermon title had been, Can You Imagine? I have been preaching now for 17 years. And on occasion, by the time I walk in that door, back to that room, to start putting the sermon final notes together and print it out, sometimes things change. Somebody has said something, or something is rolling around in my head, and there's a lot of space for that to happen, and it changes. So take out your pencils, and in your bulletin you may now write, In the Valley. In the Valley. And our scripture lesson today will come from a very hard-to-find scripture, Psalm 23. While you're looking that up, I happen to notice the weather's getting warmer. People are getting antsy to get out and do stuff. Spring cleaning up. And at a little country church back up in the hills, the caretaker of the church was paid a salary. And they was looking at the church one day, and the deacons and the board said, man, this place is getting rough looking. It needs to be painted. So they set the caretaker down. They said, we want you to paint the outside of the church white. Here's an amount of money to paint the church. Now you go buy the paint and whatever you need, and whatever's left over, you keep as a bonus for painting the church. And he said, okay. So he went down to the hardware store, and he found 5 gallons of paint, and he was a little bit stunned at the price. He said, if I spend all the money on this paint and these brushes, ain't going to be none left over for me. Well, I'll just thin this out. So he bought the paint and the brushes. He realized that 5 gallons wasn't going to cover it. And he says, I'm going to buy enough thinner to make it work. And so he started painting, and he thinned, and he thinned, and he painted. And he got all the way around the church. And when he got done, he still had 1 gallon of paint left over. And he was proud of himself. And he put the money in his pocket. And he went inside. And as he crossed the door, he heard a clap of thunder. He said, well, that can't be good. And as he stood outside on his porch watching the rains come and they put against the church, and they washed all that paint off the church onto the ground. And he walked out into the middle of the yard and he looked at it and he said, Lord, I got to do this all over again. What am I supposed to do now? And the sky separated and a voice from heaven came down and said, repaint and thin no more. In the valley, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask that you lift us up at this time and let us hear these words given by you to us to grow from, to glean from, to take this week forward and be strengthened by them, Father. We are yours. You are our leader. In our times of trial and struggle, Father, you are there. Let us hear these words you have given us. In the name of Jesus Christ, and all of his children said, amen. Ephrah. Now, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong because my Greek, I haven't finished that study yet in school as to how to properly pronounce it. But Ephrah, in ancient Greek mythology, the village, the town, the city of Ephrah was founded by Sisyphus. You got to say that one just right. Otherwise, you'll spit on the person in front of you. Sisyphus. And he was a devious tyrant who founded this city for his own personal gain. Now, this is Greek mythology, mind you. He killed visitors that would come to his city to show off his might and power. And that was considered against the rules. He would do things that were immoral. That was considered against the rules. He would do things that were hard and mean. And finally, the gods got so angered that they snatched him up and killed him. And he knew it was going to happen. Now, Greek mythology tells us that right before he was to die and knew it was coming, he begged his wife as a testament of her love to him to take his body and throw it out on the banks, out in the public square. And she did. And the story is that he was carried to the underworld. And when the devil saw him coming, the devil said, "I have been waiting for you, and I have just the punishment in mind." And so for all eternity, he was forced to roll an immense boulder up a giant hill. Only by the time he got to the top and thought he had finally finished his task, would he lose his footing and the boulder would roll back down, and Sisyphus was condemned to go back to the bottom and start all over again. And so Greek mythology tells us for all eternity, that's his punishment, is to constantly push a large rock up a big hill. By the way, that town, you might know it today as Corinth. Let me ask you this, and you don't have to put your hand up. You don't have to do anything, maybe nod a little bit, but how many people in this room right now feel like this past week they have been condemned to pushing a large boulder up a hill? Go ahead. Yeah, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Carry the 1, 6. All of you. You feel like you're pushing it with no end in sight. Am I right? Say amen. Yeah. You think you're alone, don't you? Sometimes in those quiet moments, you feel like your struggle has you lost, that you feel like you're alone. And it's okay to admit it. That's what this 4 square walls is here for, is to bring your pain and struggle here and place it at the feet of the Lord and say, "I can't do this." Do you feel like you cannot win? Sometimes you just, no matter what, you cannot win. Say amen. Amen. So did the church of Corinth. This was a city lost in immorality, the struggles against the body, everything going wrong. There was pain, there was danger, there was treachery, there was false worship, there was idolatry, there was everything that you could possibly imagine going on in Corinth at the time of Paul, the gospel. Paul, the writing these things in his gospel, and the new Christians there were losing heart and strength and starting to succumb to the world around them and listen to the false teachings. What does that sound like? Today, 2,000 years ago, yet still today. A lot of people out there, I love hearing this statement. You know, when my day, when was your day? I used to laugh because when people would say that, I was 16 years old and they were 100. And now when people say, "In my day," I have to say, "Well, I'm 56. What was your day?" I'm starting to say that myself. You know, back in my day, peanut butter came in a jar made of glass. And it was stronger peanut butter. And when you ate it, it was better for you. People say, "In my day, things weren't this bad." No, they were. It has been the way of the world, be led by the prince of this world. And I'm going to say it, because you're not supposed to, and everybody always gets a little crazy. Satan. That is what this world is built on here today. And in those days in Corinth, the new Christians were losing heart. Everything was going wrong. They were being beat on and persecuted. And it seemed like every time they turned around, they were losing somewhere or something, and they couldn't get away from it. They were pushing a rock uphill. They were permanently in the valley. The truth of the matter is, if we have taken our time to profess the name of Jesus Christ, which we have, and accept Him as our Savior, which you did, you have something else going on. There is a poem, and I don't know who wrote it. It says, "My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget He sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle ceases to fly shall God unroll the canvas of my life and explain the reasons why." What we see right now is not what God sees. What we see right now is pain and struggle and trial and tribulation, and we know it. But what about those moments when the sun peeks through? Does anybody still remember them? You know, last week, was it last week or the week before last, it rained for 4 days. And all I heard was, "Oh, if it ever would stop raining. Oh, is it ever going to stop raining? Oh, it will just stop raining." In the meantime, I'm sitting there going, "Well, I wish it would rain for a few more days, because I live on a well, and that well will get filled up, and I'll have water when I need it." And people would look at me and go, "What is wrong with you?" And I said, "Well, you don't have that kind of time, but try to look for the better side, the upper side, the clearer side." I am given to understand that for many people, and I've gotten a lot of phone calls and discussions this week, but I'm given to understand that this week has been difficult for a great many of you. Dare I say that you might even feel like you are stuck in the valley and cannot see the light. And when I hear that kind of stuff, when people tell me about that, that they feel like it's always dark and it seems like they are always there, it hurts my heart. Now, if you think for 1 minute that I don't fall prey to that, well, you're wrong. I too get stuck in the dark, in the valley, and I too sometimes get lost thinking, "Why in the world does this keep happening? Why?" You know, you go out in the morning and you get in your work car or your vehicle. Let me see if this fits you. It's a beautiful morning. You get up, you get ready to go to work, and as you're sitting there tying your shoes, you bust a shoelace. Now you got to go find new shoelaces and put them in. Rethread your shoes. All right, good. Well, I got my shoes tied, and then you hear it start raining. "Wait, 5 minutes ago it was clear." All right, fine, whatever. And you get out to the car, and it's muddy, and it's raining, and you hit the starter, and what happens? Click, 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 click. My golly, what else can happen? So you get out, it's raining, you fiddle with the battery, you realize the car won't start. Well, you have a second car. Let me go get in that one. And you go looking for the keys, and you can't find them. So now you're stuck with going back and jumping the other car to get it started. And you finally get it started, and you're all happy, and you go to put it in reverse, and you realize the headlights ain't working. What else can happen? I can't take this anymore. So you get out, and you give the car a good swift kick on the side, and the lights miraculously come on. All right, good. And in the middle of all of this, you throw the thing in reverse, you back out of your spot, you pull down the driveway, you look both ways before you pull out, and the car goes, "Bah!" and shuts off, and you look down, and you're out of gas. It can wear on you. It didn't happen like that. It would if my family had their way with all of our vehicles, because they all don't think the gas pumps work unless Dad works them. I ain't figured that one out yet. But it can wear on you that way. It can push you down. And that's what this world does sometimes. And I hurt for you. Martin Luther wrote these words: "The supreme blessing in which one can truly know the goodness of God is not temporal possessions, but the eternal blessing that God called us to His holy gospel." In this gospel, we hear that God will be gracious to us for the sake of His Son, will forgive and eternally save us, and will protect us in this life against the tyranny of the devil and the world. To someone who properly appreciates this blessing, everything else is trifling. though he is poor, sick, despised, and burdened with adversities. He sees that he keeps more than he lost. If he has no money and goods, he knows nevertheless that he has a gracious God. If his body is sick, he knows that he is called to eternal life. His heart has this constant consolation. Only a short time, and everything will be better. And my job, and my direction, and what I'm supposed to do, I'm supposed to stand up here every Sunday morning and in some way, somehow, some form, preach to you that everything is okay and that your belief has you safe. That's what I'm supposed to do. And quite frankly, sometimes that just doesn't cut it, does it? Yeah, okay, Paul, I hear you. I know what the Bible says. I got it. I know Jesus died, and I know everything is right. But my roof is leaking again. How can I stand here and preach that everything is all right? How can we accept it that way? Do you know why? Because it's true. Everything will be all right. Maybe not in 5 minutes, maybe not in 24 hours, maybe not in 6 months, but it will be. In 2 Corinthians, oddly enough, in the 12th chapter, the 7th verse, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Paul, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. When we are in the valley, we are not in the darkness. We are in the light. And yes, I know it's hard to read that scripture and say, how can he boast about that? I'm sure it was difficult. But when you consider what Paul was to what he became, you know he had to constantly proclaim his walk with the Lord. That is how I know everything is okay. Hardships, suffering surround us. There is nothing we can do to change it. Nothing. The only thing we can do is rely on him who died on that tree to save us. On him who sits eternally in the heavens, preparing our place to come home to. Joe Scriven was a missionary from Ireland to Canada, walking among the Iroquois Indians. He was joined by his fiancée, who was from Ireland. And just a few days before the wedding, she was killed in an ice accident. Joe buried her with his own hands and a broken heart. And his mother, worried about him, dispatched a letter. Now, letters in those days took forever to find someone. And when they did, and Joe read of what his mother had written, he wrote these words back to her to tell her this is why he had the strength to carry on. His words were, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Joe was on the road to triumph, and even though the times of the road was rough, even though he was in the valley, in the darkness, he knew he walked with the Lord of our light. Let me just tell you this. It's going to be okay. It is. You are children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ. Your salvation was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, and nothing can wipe that away. Your strength comes from the fact of knowing that what's here isn't forever. And although it may not settle the aggravation and the frustration of a car that won't start, a leak in work, a struggle at work, a struggle with the family, it may not settle your mind right away. The power that you have in being able to pray to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will constantly be there and lift you. And even though you think you struggle, a small girl had been promised the privilege of climbing to a nearby hilltop where her brother had enjoyed playing. But when she came within sight of the steep, rough path, she drew back and said, "There ain't a smooth spot anywhere. It's all bumpy and stony. How am I supposed to climb that?" "Yes," explained the older brother, "it is rough. It is bumpy and stony. But how else would we climb to the top if it wasn't? The bumps and stones are the steps we use to get there." Let me remind you, me, and everyone of this. We may be in the valley today. We may be walking in darkness today. We may be pushing that stone uphill again today. But our belief in Jesus Christ, our belief in the power of that salvation, and our understanding of who He is to us, well, if that be against us and He be for us, what truly can stand against us? I say it again, brothers and sisters, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leads me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters and restores my soul. He guides me in those paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. He is with me. His rod, His correction, His staff, they comfort me. They comfort you. He has prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies, where we are safe. He anoints our head, and our cup of blessings overflows constantly. Goodness and love surely will follow us every day of the life we live here. And when it's done, and we have left the valley, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, I pray your strength today. As you are in the valley, don't lose sight of the fact that the light remains. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time that we're able to spend together listening to the Word and dwelling in it and getting strength from it. Father, as we depart from here today, let us know what has been given us this time. Let us know, Father, that you have us. I found it very interesting, Father, that as I was putting these words together that you had given, that in the back of my mind I kept hearing those words, "He's got the whole world in His hands." And we sang it. "How great you are." We sang it. Father, you are in control, and your Son Jesus has paid our debt. And as we walk away from here today and we know the trouble faces us right outside the door, we know we're going into it again, we know we can go into it head held high with the hope and understanding that this is merely a moment in time. Let us continue to strengthen our faith in you and our prayers to your Son. Yeah, we're in the valley, but not forever. Watch over and keep us as we depart, as we prepare, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.